Happy holidays and happy new year, everyone. Today, we're taking a look back at some of the most compelling conversations we've had this last year in regards to the Delphi murder case and the charges against Richard Allen.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi,
featuring former FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreek.
Are Richard Allen's Sixth Amendment rights being violated? That's the question I think a lot of us are asking as the twists and turns in the Delphi murder case continue to go down those winding roads. I don't know if winding's the right word anymore. It seems more like a cliff that we've gone off a few times here. His defense attorneys, Baldwin and Rossi, both basically being coerced to withdraw from representing him. That's at least how they are presenting it. One of them going back and trying to represent him pro bono. But the Judge Gull saying, no, we are assigning new attorneys, even though Richard Allen is begging to please have these two continue to represent him. Let's talk about that to begin with, because is that right there? Is that a violation of a Sixth Amendment right? Or is that really completely within the grounds of Judge Gull to say, look, your office has leaked these things. There's been a lot of problems coming off of this. We can't trust you to participate professionally. So we need to get somebody else in here, regardless of how far they've already taken Richard down this road. Robin Dreek joining us to discuss. Robin, what's your thoughts on all that?
You know, Tony, on this one, I wish I had an answer. Yeah. I don't know whether the judge can do that or not. I've never seen this before.
Yeah.
It's... You know, every now and then, you know, we want to cover topics that we have answers for. I got no answer for this one, because every single week that we talk about this, there's some new craziness. The last time we talked about this, we were shocked that the attorneys had removed themselves from the case, thinking that maybe they were thinking in the best interest of him, because maybe they went down a road that was getting negative publicity for. I mean, we had all these conjectures mm-hmm. about why they took the action, removed themselves. And all of a sudden, what did we find out? Like you said, it's another series of cliffs. It's not just one cliff we fall off of. No. You fall off one, you think I'm at the bottom. Nope, we're falling off another one. And to hear the accusation that the judge removed them and refuses to allow them to even participate again, when the defendant is begging for them, that's really odd. I have no idea. And you don't know what's going to happen next. It's just really puzzling. The whole case, again, what we said last time with this one, if it's really confusing to understand, there's a lot of lack of transparency going on. And a lack of transparency sows distrust. So you don't have distrust. And the whole system breaks down, because we have to have trust in organizations, institutions, in our whole system to keep it going. This one, I have no idea which way it's going to go next.
Why?
That's why it's so transfixing. It's fascinating. It's fascinating the judge. One of the reasons she said took them off is because of the leakage of the evidence and the media it was creating. Just created more media around it by removing the defense attorneys.
Yes.
So it is. It's crazy.
And if you're playing the conspiracy game on this, and I'm not really, but it's like, could we go any more down that road by the very people that some are accusing of having a conspiracy against Richard Allen on? Now we almost have, if we're going on that road, the court system saying, no, you can't have these guys defend you. What would the natural thing be to think? Maybe they're getting a little too close to the truth. And that's why now we need a different defense. Not to say that the new defense couldn't continue to go down that road. They certainly could. But why, if that's who he wants to have represent him, why could he not have them represent him? He could represent himself, technically, if he wanted to. It's just very confusing. I don't know all the legalities of it, if the judge is right to, or has the ability to completely do that, or if she's overstepping. But it just seems so extreme, where everything seems to be against this guy that doesn't really have a very strong case to begin with of actually being the murderer. The fact that he raised his hand and said, I was there. I mean, to me, number one kind of makes me feel like maybe, you know, he's probably not the guy. But I mean, there have been others who've raised their hand to try and just blend in at the same point. What's your thoughts on that? The fact that he did raise his hand at the beginning and said, yeah, I was over there, just so you know, I can answer questions, and then that ends up being a focus on him.
So if we're going in the court of transparency, because transparency, vulnerability, the ability to own our behaviors engenders great trust. And this case is going to, since there's a lot of circumstantial evidence, it's going to be a case based on trust. Whose words do we trust more, the prosecution or defense? And I'm telling you, the defense here is being more transparent, more open than the prosecution seems to be. Because like you said, you and I keep trying to go down the road of not being conspiracy theorists, thinking that this was some wacky cult that killed these two young ladies. But they're not helping themselves. They keep making it hard to defend that this is not some sort of conspiracy cult going on. It's just crazy. And the fact that the accused is garnering sympathy from now even a larger public, it's going to be really interesting who they find to sit in the jury on this one, because we never know all the evidence until it's laid out before us in the courtroom. And so it'll be really interesting, the things that we don't know that the prosecution says they have, to make this more conclusive, because from the data points we have and the arc and the transparency that he's offered about where he was and what he was doing, which is very incriminating. It's just bodes very well for him at this point. Just look at that compared to the other cases that we're talking about. People running and hiding when they haven't even been put behind bars yet, changing names, changing looks. I mean, and this guy's like, oh, I was right there. You know, so see how that just that whole impression thing and how that transparency and that feeling of everyone around you being open to what was going on, that imprint it makes on you is very different.
It is very different. And speaking of the jury, something that I noted, one of our regular guests on here, Bob Mata, defense attorney, he was there. He was in the courtroom during the hearing recently where the attorneys withdrew. And I guess I put that in air quotes because they really didn't want to withdraw. And what he had brought up was that in that very courtroom, and if we're going back to conspiracy here a little bit, Tony Liggett, and I don't want to say henchmen, but some of the other officers that were with him. And there's plenty of arguments against Tony Liggett right now. We're getting close to that Franks hearing and having some information exposed, which now that's all probably, you know, up in the air. Maybe they'll have one down the road. Maybe they won't. But from what I was understanding is that they were in that jury box watching that hearing and looking very imposing down onto Richard Allen and the defense and anyone else in that courtroom. I mean, just the gesture of that seemed to be very, I mean, not necessary, but also very much playing into, look, this is the system of power here. We're over here in this jury box. The judge is over here saying you can't have these attorneys anymore. Is there something wrong with that specific ecosystem of justice in that county? Is what I'm starting to wonder, where most things do flow from the top down. And granted, yes, you have, you know, the court systems, the judicial system, you have law enforcement over here. They're not in the same thing, but they're part of the same triangle, if you will. Is there something bigger going on in this area? Almost like we've kind of concluded over in South Carolina in the Lowcountry, where there's a lot of corruption. I'm wondering if there's something similar at play here, where it's I'm not going to say it's the, you know, the protect the blue or anything like that, but something where everybody's working hand in hand to make sure that we're going to be covered, and even take the conspiracy, the Odinism out of it, just more so we're going to cover each other's asses no matter what.
Yeah, and your mindset was going right to where I was also with the South Carolina and Murdoch trial and the case in the cabal down there, everyone that's so entrenched with each other. And yeah, it's a possibility that it looks like we have data points that are supporting that right now. And those are scary moments for us in our institutions as well, because one of the reasons why there's so many different levels, checks, balances, separations between organizations, people, elected, appointed, all these things, is to make sure that the system is soundproof as possible to not allow favoritism, not allow nepotism, not allow these blue walls and cabals to railroad people and places and things. But yeah, it's not boding well. It's interesting that you notice the behavior in the courtroom too, because those are really indicative. You know, we just talked about Armstrong, her behavior down in Costa Rica. Yeah. She can't overcome her behavior because it's who she is. You know, it's very challenging to overcome that behavior. And in the courtroom, those officers and the court staff, very hard to overcome their behaviors of their emotions they're feeling internally. And you can try to put a mask on as much as you want, but when you're surrounded by other people that are part of your groupthink, you feel very safe in being who you are. And so if that's the behavior that we're seeing, again, it's just one data point in many, but it could lead to other things. And we'll talk about that when we talk a little bit about Koberger coming up too. His behavior in the courtroom is interesting.
How?
But it is, it's very telling.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.